Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike, yo. Carson struggled last night. And
don't point the finger, John.
I'm pointing the finger.
He said don't point fingers.
I'm pointing the finger. I'm allowed to. Those guys shouldn't point. I'm pointing the finger, and I'm saying this also. It's all right. I mean, every quarterback outside of Tom Brady is going to have games where they struggle. That was a big game last night, national TV.
Oh, Brady struggled yesterday.
Yeah, I guess he did. Hostile environment, but you get what I'm saying. And
yep.
Here's the other thing. Everybody out there was expecting 15-1 on route to a Super Bowl and never losing another game. Games like that last night happen every single year to every single good team.
Yep.
Right, like the thing that stinks is Minnesota isn't losing any games. So we're watching home field. Yeah, so far.
Yeah.
We're watching the home field go from how do you lose just one game the whole season to now you're the number two team in the NFC. But there's a lot of time left in a lot of games. You just got to play the rest of the games. But, you know.
Yeah, a lot of football left to play. And, we're going to see what we have. You know, and we all realize this is a good football team. I don't think any of that has changed. But I think we have to sort of temper all this greatness talk that has been floating around this team for the last month or so. And when we talk about quality of opponent, this is what we mean.
Yep.
I mean, these are the examples that we're talking about. It doesn't mean Seattle is a better overall team than the Eagles, but they were better last night.
That's all that matters. No, they're not a better team. How about that? I don't think the Seahawks in full are a better team. But that's just been so far through the season.
Right.
As Russell Wilson said last night, it is December now, and you haven't played in December unless you play in December. And for this team together, it's
their first time going through it.
It's their first time.
Yep.
And you have lessons that you learn in losses and wins, and they learned a lesson last night, Ike. So for our money, at least my money, next week is important. That's the game you got to win. That's
yes.
Not a game you can lose next week.
Mm.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Let's take some phone calls. Mike at Boyertown, you're first, Michael. Mike, you there? Punch him up there for me, Ben.
You hear me?
Go ahead, man.
What's up, brother?
Hey, I just want to say the biggest thing that I think we can look at, my old man's been teaching me since I was little, is just any given Sunday. And I think they brought us to 10-2 this year, and that's a huge deal for all of us. I mean, even if we don't take it all the way, I think we should see past all the penalties and the negatives and still realize that we're sitting on 10-2. We're still an awesome team. We're a great group of guys. From what I saw last night, definitely wasn't 100% effort, but everybody's got those days. I work Monday through Friday. I don't have a perfect day every day. When it's crunch time, I mess up. And I think we had high hopes for this game, but it might have just – could have just been not the night last night. And we still got to keep the camaraderie high like we always do. And I think we can push through and get through absolutely next week.
Well, next week's game has certainly added another dimension to it because these teams are on your heels now. And you go from a possible number one seed, possible bye week, to you could be playing in that wild card round as a division winner. But you're going to need three wins to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, for my money, the objectives are still out there. The goals are still out there right in front of the Eagles. They just have to not allow this to sort of go into a snowball effect. And, you know, we can still keep hopes and dreams about getting to Minnesota for the Super Bowl. I mean, I still think those things are still in play. But we got to get through this tough part of the schedule. I mean, it's December. You know, it's a tough time of the year to win. And regardless if every team on our schedule is in the playoff hunt or not, most of the teams remaining on our schedule are playing for something. I mean, they're going to be playing for something, including the lowly Giants, that when you fire a coach, you know what happens then to the team? Everybody's playing for their job next year. Everybody's trying to make sure they play hard, put good film on tape, so that they stay employed. Because the one thing a front office does when they fire a coach in the season, and the season is seemingly over, they want to look and see who else has quit on the team. And so this is a business where contracts aren't guaranteed. I went through this in 1998, you know, with a coach. We knew he was going to get fired with about three or four games left to play, and it became, you better put some good film on tape or you won't be here next year. So, I mean, that even the Giants, who aren't very good right now, that's going to be our third straight road game when you go up there.
Yeah, win one for the Gipper, too, if Eli's the starter at that point.
Exactly.
Right? You're not going up against Davis Webb or even Geno Smith. Maybe Eli comes out in the one last game against the Eagles. But you said it in 98, and late in the season, you were getting sacks rushing as a defensive end. And I remember thinking, like, all right, this Reese guy's pretty good, right?
Well, and that's the thing. They put you out there on the field, all right, this kid hasn't played a whole lot. Let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can play football. And so it wasn't not just myself, Jeremiah as well. They threw us out there in situations and just said, go get the ball. Go get the football, you know. And that's sort of what you're going to get from a team like the Giants. But even a team like the Raiders 3 weeks ago that we thought, well, the Raiders game won't mean anything. They don't have anything to play for. Guess what? The Raiders are tied for first place in the AFC West.
Oh, my God.
So every game means something. And these damn Cowboys aren't necessarily dead yet.
They're not done, and the Packers aren't done. That's why the NFL is the best of any of the sports, college, pro, or whatever, because of this.
Yeah.
We wrote off how many teams – just last week, 2 weeks ago, now they're right back.
They're right in the thick of things, whether they can win their division or they're fighting to get a wild card. I mean, that's what you're going to be going up against.
And they're dangerous teams.
Yeah.
You let the Packers in the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers coming back, they're dangerous. Greg in Jersey. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's up, G?
First thing, just like the last caller said, even though we lost last night, things are going good. 10-2, like, teams lose like this all the time. It happens. It was Seattle on the road. You tell me at the beginning of the year, I circled that game on the schedule. I was like, it's going to be a tough one. But we're gonna come back next week against the Reds. But I wanted to talk about a little bit about the game yesterday, because everyone's talking about Doug with some of the questionable decisions, or, you know, it wasn't really his fault. And Carson obviously had some mistakes and overthrows and things like that. But I think one of the biggest problems of the offense yesterday was we could not get the running game going consistently, and that's partly because I think Big V did not have a good game. Like, I remember, I think there was one play where they followed Carson's handoff in the backfield, and Big V was either grabbing onto the guy, got beat on a bunch of plays, and whoever was over there was just having
Yeah, he didn't have a good night last night,
and,
Big V.
And on top of that, I think when they kept going up the middle with Blunt and Ajayi and nothing was happening, I think you'd have more success. If you had, like, Corey Clement going through the outside, because the one time, you know, opening up on the outside and maybe things open up down the field, I don't know. I was trying to figure out what was off about the offense last night, because it felt like towards the end of the game. Yeah.
The quarterback was off, Greg, plain and simple. Quarterback was off. He had his worst game of the season last night. And it's all right. Like, when I say we're pointing fingers, we're just talking about the game. Like, you point fingers at Big V. He didn't have a great game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A bunch of guys didn't have a good game last night. But here, I'll point another finger. Alshon Jeffrey's holding penalty on the run that would have put him at pretty much the 1 foot line was a killer. Because that's an early touchdown. And it was unnecessary, by the way.
Yeah. You got to let him go at some point and just take the results of the play. Alshon's been called for that a few times
couple
this
times,
year.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been called for that a few times this year. And that's what I mean. You know, I know I've heard a lot of talk all day about the referees and how they cost us the game and they were against us or what have you. I don't ever get involved in that unless something is just egregious. That's not what cost us the game last night. It was missed opportunities. I mean, you think about it. It's a 10-3 game at the half. You get the ball coming out. You march right down the field with an opportunity to tie the game up. We fumbled the ball out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah, that was a killer. That was a killer. And it looked like Torrey Smith could have – I don't think he saw it. It looked like he could have jumped up and grabbed it when you're watching it live. Then it goes out. That was a killer. That for the most part right there, that was the biggest part of the game. The biggest, not the turning point, because they were still right there in the fourth quarter. That's the thing about
Seattle took it and went down and scored.
That was
and went up 17-3 after that.
That was the biggest series of events in the game. But that, I mean, it just goes to show you about the Seahawks and the Eagles. They were still there in the fourth quarter to win the game. They could have tied them. Yep. They would have gotten a stop. And then here's the other play that people were getting on Doug about, mm-hmm. Mike, was challenging the play on Torrey Smith catch, that he challenged it, that he shouldn't have challenged it. It looked like a first down to me, but you can see what the NFL is doing. They're saying, like, if it's not 100%, like, I make a decision like that, they're going to let the call stand.
It's rarely overturned, man. It just is. A spot, when you spot the ball, you know, those officials, unless it's just absolutely clear that they had a bad spot, they're going to stick with the call on the field. I had two plays, two Doug plays that I didn't like last night. The challenge there, I just didn't think it was worth it.
No, because you get the first down there anyway.
And you still wind up going for it on fourth down. And then the decision to go for it on fourth and three as opposed to kicking the field goal and taking the 3 points and making the game 17-6. To me, I thought the Eagles at that time needed some sort of positive reinforcement for all the work they had done. They had gone up and down the field in that second half and didn't get anything out of it. First time they went down, they fumbled the ball out of the back of the end zone. You know, then they go down again, and because the offense stalls, we decide we're in field goal range that we're not going to kick the field goal. We're going to go ahead and try to go for it. It was just too much time left in the game to do that, in my opinion. So I would not have gone for it there. But if you judge the Twitter coaches, everybody wanted him to go for it.
Well, I was fine with him going for it. If they execute the play better, it's a first down.
Right.
Because was it Barner or was it?
Barner, yeah.
Barner was open. He kind of got
a little stumbling coming out of there.
And it was incomplete. But if Wentz makes a better throw or if Barner actually catches it, it was very catchable. He was just kind of
stumbling coming out of the backfield.
It ends up working. But the big call that people are complaining about was it 17-10, Seahawks ball, 3rd and 9 from their own 42. Russell Wilson, you could say it was an illegal forward lateral or it was a legal lateral, but that's what a lot of the people are saying. That's what he should have challenged. If he didn't challenge the first play, I think it's more likely he challenges that one, because if you lose two challenges, you have no more challenges.
Yep.
So, and then you lose another timeout.
And it's a lot of time, and it's still the third quarter.
And if you're just looking at the video of that real time, it's tough to tell whether that was. Now, see, I'll tell you, I looked at some still pictures. That tells me that it looked like it was a forward lateral. But who knows if they're even going to have that angle or that shot last night.
I just don't believe it was a slam dunk play. And I know how everybody wants to make it as if that was clearly a forward lateral. I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure. To me, in live action, I thought it was just a hell of a play by Russell Wilson.
Well, you know? It was regardless.
Yeah.
That got them all the way down to the Eagles 35.
Yeah.
And they go ahead and they get that touchdown.
Here's the thing. Doug's on the field. He can't see that. Not only is he on the field, he's on the opposite side of the field. So it's not like the play happened on their sideline. It happened closer to the Seahawks sideline.
He's relying on one or two people in the
upstairs.
Booth.
And let me tell you this also.
And the Seahawks got to the line quick, too.
If that happens at home, we're showing that play on our Jumbotron at home.
Yes.
You want to? I'm not even at the game, and I can just bet $1 million. They never showed that replay in the Seahawks stadium. Right? That play is never shown in the stadium because you're not going to give the opposing coaches an opportunity to see it on your Jumbotron.
No.
And so he's going to need someone up in the booth looking at a TV copy, I'm assuming, to sort of give him the okay to go ahead and challenge it. You're right, because he challenged the other one. He was hesitant to challenge that one.
And the guys up there aren't going to tell him in literally probably 15 or 20 seconds, because the Seahawks got to the line pretty quick, to say, use our last challenge on this play that I already screwed up and told you to do it before.
Right.
Right? So this guy's thinking about, hey, are we going to use our last challenge here where I can't even tell? It makes sense why they wouldn't have done it, but when you look at the end result of the play, it kind of looks decent. All right, Twitter question of the day brought to you by Rosenbaum & Associates. If you're injured in an accident, remember Rosenbaum. After last night, are you worried about the Eagles? Yes or no? I'm not worried about the Eagles. I'm a little bit worried about the picture in the NFC, though. Not worried, but, you know, it's you know, it's not the greatest when you were expected Super Bowl number one seed to right. Now you kind of look at it.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.